This is a Day One podcast extra, bringing you a conversation between our host, Peter Wallace, and a special guest. For more information about Day One, which features outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me today is the Reverend Dr. Cleophas J. LaRue. Cleo is the Francis Landy Patton Associate Professor of Homiletics at Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton, New Jersey. And in his role there on the faculty, he specializes in the theory and method of African-American preaching and worship. An ordained minister in the National Baptist Convention of America, Dr. LaRue is the former pastor of two churches in Texas, and was also an interim pastor of churches in New York. Cleo, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
You earned your bachelor's in religion and journalism from Baylor University and actually worked as a television news reporter for a while after that, but you were ordained during that time as well. What led you to change careers and go into the ministry?
The call to ministry had been a part of my life from my early teenage years, and I was kind of groping and searching around. And it was during that period of working at the television station, I saw life in so many different perspectives. I was convinced that my calling was to the ministry.
Were you involved in live stories? I mean, you see so much difficulty and pain on the TV news. Did that have an impact on you?
Absolutely. My first assignment with a 35-millimeter camera was to go to a fatality.
Oh.
And I was asking the policeman, where's the body? And he said, if you step one more foot, you'll walk on the... I didn't see the man. And I couldn't sleep that night.
Oh.
I mean, they hadn't covered him up or anything. I went to drownings. I went to murders. All of that. I saw life in all of its vividness and brutality at times.
And rather than merely report on it, you sought to do something about it.
Yeah, make a change in it. There's a better way.
Yeah. You are ordained in the National Baptist Church, and many of our listeners may not be familiar with that particular denomination. How would you describe it?
It's a denomination that's been around as the National Baptist since 1895. It was actually founded in Atlanta. And they chose at that time not to put any racial designation in the title. So they didn't call it the Black Baptist. They called it the National Baptist Convention. But it's made up in large part of black churches throughout the United States. And it's a large convention.
You've been on the faculty at Princeton now for how many years?
12 years.
12 years. And since 1999, you've been the Francis Landy Patton Associate Professor of Homiletics. Tell us about the major courses you teach there.
Well, I love my work at Princeton. I teach an introduction to preaching course where all students are required to take that course in their Midland year, and we teach the basics of preaching. And then I have my electives, preaching in the African-American tradition, from text to sermon, preaching in the urban areas, and also preaching in diverse cultures. And I enjoy all of those electives because we look at preaching from all of those different angles.
Let me ask you about the preaching in diverse cultures. How do you approach that topic, which continues to grow in importance as the world changes around us?
Absolutely. I mean, we are so diverse in America, and when you look at the global situation, we're becoming even more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually take on these various groups. We look into the preaching of Asian Americans, Hispanics. We look into the preaching of people in the countries of Asia, Africa, and Latin America, and we try to bring those components together and expose our students to those different ways of preaching.
Are there differences in seminary life and the educational strategy that you notice at Princeton now as compared to your days as a seminarian there?
Well, we have a new president from Scotland, so we are more global in our reach now. We had a wonderful president before him, and he was a member of the Presbyterian Church, and his outlook was Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm.
But this president from Scotland has a global look, and I'm so glad to see Princeton, with all of its resources, turn toward the globe now as a way of seeing and doing ministry.
It's interesting to see this phenomenon where America was the center of outreach, and now we're receiving a lot of input from around the globe. What do you see are the main lessons we're learning from other Christians in other parts of the world?
Yes, and learn we must. If nothing else, we must learn how to survive, because the Christians in other parts of the world, primarily below the equator, mm-hmm. in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, they are thriving. Christianity is in decline in the West and in North America. We have a lot to learn from them.
How do you keep track of trends in preaching, both in the broader sense and in the African American church?
Well, one way I try to keep up is to stay out there myself. Uh-huh. I don't want to lock myself in a closed, cloistered environment. I want to be out on the road, not just preaching, mm-hmm. but listening to preaching at the different conventions and conferences and all. And then we ask the students, because when the students come in, they all have in their minds an idea of the ideal preacher. And many of them are the popular preachers on television and radio. Mm-hmm. We listen to that. We also teach them how to critique that.
Mm-hmm. How would you say the African-American church has been evolving in recent years in terms of preaching and worship?
Well, if I'm going to be truthful with you, I would have to tell you that I'm somewhat troubled. The black church enjoyed its largest crowds during the era of the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. There was a hopefulness in people, and they just poured into the churches. And what we have seen in the post-civil rights era is that the black church is becoming, it is, largely a middle-class institution. Mm. The upper class do not attend. They have moved beyond it. And the lower classes say they can't afford to attend. Mm. So we have to get to that place where we can reach again a large number of black people because of what we are preaching and our ministries to them.
I'm curious, you said you did a lot of traveling and listening. Who are some of your favorite preachers to listen to and why?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm dating myself because I guess we are shaped by our formative years. I still love the preachers on the order of Gardner Taylor, mm-hmm. The late William Jones. I love the preaching of Martin Luther King. I'm taken with that kind mm-hmm. of preaching. It was preaching that spoke to me and spoke to my heart.
Are there any up-and-coming preachers that you're keeping your eye on?
Well, I tell you now, I'm watching Otis Moss III mm-hmm. Out of Chicago to see what he will do. There's another young preacher in Los Angeles, H.B. Charles. Mm-hmm. They are involved deeply in ministries in their mm-hmm. hometown, and I'm watching them.
Of course, the distinct style of African-American preaching has come under the media spotlight, and we talked a little bit about this on the Day One program. It's difficult to get a whole picture of a typical sermon from little snippets that may be pulled and put onto YouTube and so forth to get people excited. For those who are not real familiar with African-American preaching, what would you hope that they understand about the whole presentation?
You know, with African-American preaching and the whole church experience, church for us is not just some place you attend. Mm. Church is who we are. Mm-hmm. It envelops the whole of our existence. Secondly, the African-American church is a very vocal church. We have this thing called call and response, where the preacher says something mm-hmm. and he or she respond to the preacher. It's very vocal. In many white churches, you sit quietly and you don't say anything, and if someone makes a noise, everybody looks. Well, if you keep quiet in the black church, they think something is wrong with you. We are very vocal. We mm-hmm. say amen, yes, go ahead. I wish people could understand that. And we deal with every aspect of life. I've been told by some of my white colleagues, Cleo, black preachers are just too frank. You all deal with areas that we wouldn't dare touch on a Sunday morning. Mm. But we deal with every aspect of life, believing the gospel speaks to every aspect of life.
I think that's probably a very good thing we should be doing. What's your sense of the future of the church? There seem to be a lot of different approaches to theology and worship and service. Do you think those different approaches will continue? Will there be change?
I'm reading The Missiologist, and I have great faith in them. Andrew Walls is one, the European missiologist from Aberdeen. And the church is moving south and turning brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we don't profit from that and learn from that, what has happened already in many places in Western Europe will mm-hmm. happen in the United States. The church has almost dwindled out of significance in Western Europe. And I think we will be headed for that same thing if we don't pay attention to what is happening to the churches in the Southern Hemisphere.
Do you think churches should intentionally become more diverse in their communities? We have such segregated congregations.
I think we must. If we don't, those churches are dying. Just look in cities now, mm-hmm. where there used to be predominantly white congregations. They are no longer. Hispanics, Asian Americans, or blacks move into those churches. And churches are thriving where there is this openness to diversity. Even in black churches, you have whites and Hispanics and Asians attending. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to have to be more diverse and open our doors to all people.
Amen. I know you're working on several books. What are you working on in terms of your writing?
Well, maybe as you can tell from these answers I'm trying to give, I'm working on one book that I'm especially excited about entitled Colored Preaching, The Shape of Christian Preaching in the 21st Century. And when I say colored preaching, I mean preaching that's being done by people of color. What do we people of color have to learn from one another, and what can we teach the broader community and world? And I am studying churches in Latin America, a few churches in Africa, and also in India. Now, it'll be a representative study in order to confine it, but that's what I'm looking at. What are they doing that we need to learn from? Secondly, the uses of Scripture in contemporary preaching. What I find from students is that if they don't have a good handle on Scripture, they are only so-so preachers because they are afraid of the Scriptures. So I want to lay out for us different ways of reading Scripture and how that helps and strengthens our preaching.
Dr. Cleo LaRue, thanks very much for visiting with us.
Thank you.